And no need to apologize for, oh, thanks. Forgot about the recording. No need to apologize for needing to leave early because we did switch this up on you because we're supposed to meet next Wednesday. And so we're meeting this tonight. So we appreciate you being flexible and meeting earlier than we normally would schedule. And then also thank you to our alders too. I'm sure you're tired since you were up late at the Common Council meeting last night. So hopefully you were able to get some sleep. I know I was up until 11 last night, so I'm tired as well. All right, so let's get started. So welcome everyone. This is my first meeting, so please bear with me. If you lose connection at any time, you can reconnect by clicking the link in your email invite. Committee members, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Use your raise hand feature if you wish to speak, ask question, or request a roll call. City staff, please activate your video when you are speaking and then use the raise hand feature when you are asked a question. Members of the public, welcome. The name you enter in Zoom must match the name you enter in the registration. You will remain muted until called upon by the chair. Please do not use your video. Chair, would you like me to do the roll call at this time?
Yes, please.
Wonderful. Jeff Ligon.
Present.
Jeff Ligon is present. Alder Duncan.
Present.
Duncan is present. Kababa.
Present.
Kababa is present. Melissa Gumbar.
Present.
Melissa Gumbar is present. Alder Wahili.
Present.
Alder Wahili is present. Nicholas Paris.
Good evening, present.
Good evening. Nicholas Paris is present. Alder Madison.
Here.
Alder Madison is present. Seth Lenz is absent tonight. Susan Bogren.
Present.
Susan Bogren is present. And Chair Wayne Harris.
Present.
All right. Chair is present. All right. The floor is yours, Chair.
All right. Thank you, Saran. First thing we would like I'd like to do is get a motion to approve the minutes of the August 21st meeting.
Motion to approve.
Thanks, Jeff. You get a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you, Melissa. Any discussion? All right. All in favor say aye or raise your hand, whichever.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Saran, do we have any public comment?
We do have a registered speaker, but that's for item number two.
Okay, all right. And then are there any disclosures or recusals?
Hey, I'd like to recuse myself from the first item. I think it's the first item.
The Kokova?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm also going to apologize. I am listening in so we can keep quorum, but I have to start driving in a couple of minutes. But if my camera goes off, I am here with you.
Alder Madison, I think even if you left, we'll have a quorum. So.
Oh, okay.
At any time, if you have to go, we're cool.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for that. Saran, did you note the recusal?
Yes, and then Jeff Ligon also raised his hands.
So okay. I have a question, a possible question about a conflict of interest in voting on that item. It's possible that in the future, the same funding that Kokova is receiving is possible that I could be receiving that. So I'm not quite sure whether or not that is a conflict of interest, or if it's something that I have to, or it's not. So I just want to make it aware, and I want to ask that question.
Yeah, you could just disclose that you might be a future recipient, but there's no conflict, not for this agenda item.
Okay,
and it's definitely not a conflict if you've had candy from there.
You may all have.
I know I am, so I'll make everybody aware of that. I've eaten there. Okay. That said, Mike, I believe you're going to take us through the new business.
I can.
Thank
I
you.
Can. Hi, everyone. As the agenda shows, item number two is a commercial ownership assistance loan for the business of Coco Va, owned by Vada Adari, who is, I know, present with us. You know, it's about a $1.2 million project. Vada will be moving from her space on East Washington, which she's pretty much outgrown, you know, into her own space on the far west side off of Odana Road, which will in turn allow her to meet the increased production space needs for her business, you know, as well as, you know, being her own business owner, owning her own property, and you know, really kind of solidifying that financial piece of Coco Va Chocolatier. We're looking at a $250,000 loan. You know, as you know, commercial ownership assistance program can provide up to $250,000, but it has to be no more than 25% of the total package. And as I mentioned, it's about a $1.2 million deal, you know, so it falls within that 25% requirement. I thought what I would do first is just kind of go over, I know I went over probably last year, maybe, the process for the commercial ownership assistance loan. So I thought I'd just briefly kind of go over that process again, just to kind of refamiliarize everyone with that. And then after that, I will, you know, as you know, Vada's here, open it up for any questions you may have for her, her business, her project, any, you know, any questions that come up. So, you know, as you know, the commercial ownership assistance program, you know, it provides up to $250,000 in a long-term deferred forgivable loan that if the applicant holds on to the property for more than 15 years, the city of Madison writes its interest off on the money that they receive from us. The first step of the process is, you know, I typically will meet with the applicant or the potential applicant, kind of make sure, you know, that I kind of understand what their project is, and then have an idea of kind of what they're looking to do. And a basic kind of understanding is, you know, does the project and the applicant kind of meet the spirit of the program? You know, so if that happens, you know, the applicant will fill out an application. Once I receive the application, I set up an internal review of five of us. Four of us are in the Office of Business Resources, and then one person from our Office of Real Estate. We like to have kind of that input because they kind of get that part of, you know, of the project. So we will do an internal review of it. If the internal review team, you know, likes the project and feels like it makes sense and the numbers look generally okay, like make sense, we will then recommend for the application to proceed to the next step. And that next step is we have partnered with the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation, or WBIC, as you all might know them as, to provide some underwriting for us. So again, how the program works is, us with us being 25%, that means 75% must come from somewhere else. And typically that percent, the majority of that percent will come from a bank. So what we know is with the bank doing, I would say at least 70% of the, you know, of that financial package, they're going to do a deep dive into the project and the business, you know. So what I mean by deep dive, they will review profit and loss statements, present cash flow, future cash flow, balance sheets, viability of the business, viability of the move of the project, moving from one location to the other. They're going to really do a deep dive into all that, you know. So because, like, for instance, for this project, you know, Vada has partnered with People's State Bank out of Milwaukee. They're going to provide a $750,000 loan. So they're going to really make sure that, you know, basically the business can repay that loan. So they do a deep dive, but we don't want to just say, okay, well, if the bank's in on it, we're good. So what we did is we partnered with WBIC to do some underwriting for us. And so what WBIC does is, with the permission of the business owner, obviously, they will contact the bank, and then they will more or less have conversations with the bank, review the financial information, like I said, tax returns and all those other financial documents. They'll review those. And then what we get is what we call a concurrence memo. And what that is just basically WBIC will review kind of the bank's decision-making mindset and process, kind of like, do we agree with what the bank's kind of saying on their approval of the loan? And if WBIC says yes, we'll get a concurrence memo saying, hey, we agree with People's State Bank in this case. We feel that it's a good loan for the city of Madison and for you guys to proceed on it. So when I get the concurrence letter or memo, I will then send the information to Matt Wachter, who is the Department of Planning and Community and Economic Development Director. So I will send all the information to him. He will then review the information. And if he's good with it, he will then send me an email back and go, Mike, I approve this loan. So once I get that back, then it's time for the legislative process for all of this. So the way the ordinance is written, Common Council has final approval for any commercial ownership loans. So what I'll do is I'll put together a resolution, I'll get a sponsorship. Typically, what I do is I'll usually contact the elder in whatever district the property is located in. And even before then, I typically will ask the business owner, have you contacted the elder and let them know kind of what your plans are and that, you're planning on moving in their neighborhood. So usually it's a pretty easy, it's a pretty easy ask. And once I get the sponsorship, I then will have it submitted to the legislative process, which really is, it'll go to Common Council, they'll introduce it, then they'll refer it to you, to this committee, the Economic Development Committee, which, if everything goes well, you guys will approve it. And then it'll go to the Finance Committee. And if it looks good for them, looks good by them, then it'll go back to council for final approval. Once we get that final approval, then it's time to connect the business, the applicant, to the office of our city attorneys. And what they'll do is they'll put together the paperwork. Typically, it's a mortgage, a note, and a loan agreement. And once the applicant reviews that information and they're good with it, they will sign it, give it back to the city attorney's office. They'll get then some internal signatures, and then it'll come back to me. And then what I'll do is then start the process of getting the funds, distributed. Once that process is done, what we typically do is we will wire the funds to the title company for the closing, and then the bank will add their money, and then the applicant will then probably sign about 1,000 different pieces of paper. And after all that, they will be a property owner for their commercial property that their business is located in. So that's kind of just a reminder of how the process works. I tell applicants a process, can take up to 4 months. So, that's just to give, I make sure that I let them know right away so they can kind of, if they're working with a real estate broker, they can kind of let that. Fortunately, we've had a couple of real estate brokers who have worked on the numeracy, so they kind of know how to finesse. Because a lot of times the property owners are like, 4 months, wow, that's a long time. But they typically won't back out because they have a really motivated buyer. So we typically will get through the whole process and get it done. So with that, I'll ask, is there any questions about the process? If not, I will open it up to questions to Vada that any of you might have about her business or, her project.
Okay, Susan, you had your hand up.
Yes, Mike. So did I understand then for the first 15 years, the individual will only pay interest? Is that correct? On a portion that's being lent by the city?
No, they will pay nothing.
They'll pay nothing.
They
So
pay nothing.
they pay no principal or interest.
No principal or interest.
So is this more of a grant then versus a loan?
Yeah, we term it a loan just because there are mechanisms that they would have to pay it back. Like if they sell it within the first 7 years, they got to pay us back the full amount they received. If they pay it after year seven, they pay us back half. So we term it a loan because if we said grant, then they're like, it's theirs and they can go on their old merry way. So that's why we term it as a loan because there could be a payback of it. But yes, theoretically, it's you can look at it as a grant.
Okay, thank you.
Alderwoman Haley.
Thank you,
Did you?
Chair. Thank you, Mike, for sharing. So where are we now in the process? Has it been introduced at the council yet, or is it here first and then to the finance and then back to the council?
Yeah, that's a great question, Alder. You know, because we have had to take these kind of out of order, I think, in the past. But no, it was introduced yesterday at council. So now it is going in order. It's going to now this committee, and then on Monday it'll go to finance, and then the 24th it'll go back to council for final approval.
Thank you.
Mike, that was an excellent explanation. Thank you for that. Vada, did you have anything you'd like to say? Okay, she may
I
be on
know,
mute.
just to let you know, I know she's working. She's actually,
Okay.
you know, Willy Wonka is actually working right now. So she's kind
All
of, I
right.
know she's got her headphones on. So, you know, you might have to get, it looks like
Oh,
she's
I'm
here now.
sorry. Can you hear me? Okay, I'm
Yeah.
sorry. I had to figure out how to unmute myself. I'm sorry about that. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. No, I don't have anything to say unless anybody has specific questions about you know, what this will do for my business. The one thing I do want to say is this is probably one of the most significant forms of assistance my business has received. And as a matter of fact, I was going to close my business because it's just not sustainable to keep working out of a 500 square foot kitchen with the nature of my business, of a confectionery business. You need lots of, you know, table space. You need a shipping station. You need packaging in order for me to provide employment. You know, I've tried in the past, and we're just bumping into each other. So, and I can tell you, you know, us small businesses are oftentimes, you know, we're a tight-knit community here. Especially us minority business owners, we talk to each other, we have similar struggles, and we kind of share information with each other. And I've shared, you know, with other businesses this program, because one of the biggest dilemmas for a lot of especially crafting businesses like mine, food businesses, is space. It's affordable space, it's having ownership in the property. And I've been here at the Marlin for, this is my 6th year. I pay about $55,000 a year in rent, and the mortgage in the new building, which is going to give me 4 times the production space, is going to be about the same as what I would be paying in rent if I would have renewed the lease here next year. So for my family, I mean, I only pay myself about $44,000 to $45,000 a year. I'm on Badger Care, and it's just, you can't keep going like that. You know, at some point you got to either pull the plug and say it was a good run. But now I've got to pursue something else that will build some generational wealth for my family, because you're just kind of, you know, throwing money into a you know, it's all sunk costs at a certain point. So I want to commend the city for this program, and I really hope that the city gets more funding so that more businesses like mine can take advantage of this and own the properties that we operate in, so that, you know, it does give us opportunities to build generational wealth, to expand, to scale our businesses so that we can stay in the community. So I want to thank, you know, especially Mike Miller for really spearheading this. And, you know, you were in the food business yourself, so you know the struggles and how important it is to at some point be able to own the property that you operate in, especially as commercial rent, all rent across the city increases. And all across the country. So the ability to own the property, you operate your business, and is huge. And it will keep our business in this community, so we can keep, you know, spreading joy and great chocolate, and you know, keep doing what we do.
Right. Thank you, Svada. Okay, can I get a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Thanks, Jeff. Second?
I will second.
Okay, thanks, Kaba. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
I would just like to say,
go ahead.
I just want to say something. I would just like to say I appreciate the description of the help that that was when we think about these things come from the city. I think it's important to not just think about them as assistance, as a one-off, but the chance to be able to actually build generational wealth and build have the opportunity to grow into spaces that you otherwise might not be able to grow into. And I think that sentiment is a very powerful sentiment. I don't think we talk about it enough. And I think that as we move forward, especially as a committee or a commission, that thinking about those kind of things for people that may not have that availability should be at forefront of everything and everything and anything we do. So I appreciate that sentiment and that language and being forthcoming with the saying that out loud, because I think sometimes we may hesitate to say something out loud when it comes to something like generational wealth or something like the assistance that we get from municipalities that other groups may have received in other ways in the past, without it being vitriolic or without using pejorative language or anything like that, the fact that we can express those things, I think, are important. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Jeff. Alder Wahaley.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say this business has gone through, the owner has gone through a lot with the city, with the community, and I'm really glad this is coming to fruition, that she will have her own space. And, you know, like Jeff alluded to, generational wealth is very important as a city. And this is one of the business that I'm really happy that this is coming to reality. And I want to just wish Vada and her business all the best.
Thank you, Alder.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I appreciate all of you. And one more observation I'd like to make is that a lot of times funding like this is funneled through organizations. And so I really appreciate, as a taxpayer and a citizen, being able to go directly to my city, to my government, to get help. It eliminates a lot of bias and favoritism and things that, can sometimes infect organizations. And there's more, I think, accountability and transparency. And I know you all don't get paid a lot to do what you do, but I just want you all to know like how important your function is, especially with regard to this particular grant. So I really hope that there's more like this. And I hope that when, federal funds come down to local jurisdictions, that our government can be direct, we can get direct help from our government, if you know what I mean. It's really beneficial. And like I said, Mike, I hope you get millions and millions more, so more of us small businesses can, you see businesses closing all the time still. We're all still coming out of the pandemic. People don't really think about that. It didn't end. The pandemic's still here, and it definitely didn't end for small businesses. So thank you all. Really appreciate it.
Okay. We have a motion and a second on the floor. All in favor, please signify by saying aye or raising your hand. Aye. Okay. Are there any opposed? Okay. Motion passes. Thanks again, Mike. It was a great job. Congratulations.
Yep. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much. Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Now we're going to move on to discussion item number 3. And Saran.
Great. Thank you, Chair. So we actually have our project manager for the ED plan here tonight. So we'll have George present and give us a quick update on the ED plan progress. So Nathan, does George have, or George, do you have access to sharing? I know you're going to present.
Yeah, I just sent a request, I think. Yep, it was granted, so
Okay.
one sec. Can folks see this?
Yes.
Can folks hear me? Well, you answered Wayne, so you can do both. You can hear me and you can see it.
Yes.
So thanks everybody. I know you all received, I believe, at your last meeting, some updates from Matt Michalajewski on this project. What we're doing today just serves as an overview and updates on the project. We're not taking any action. Obviously, we can, you can ask questions, we can answer questions, but I do want to preface it before I jump into the presentation that we're still very early in the process. We should have a much more robust update at the meeting on the 16th and then subsequent meetings. But this is just kind of, to set the table for future meetings. So with that said, we'll jump into it, possibly if my computer works. So the three, I guess, parts of the presentation, and it's going to be a relatively short presentation, are just background and purpose, our current progress, and then our next steps. So again, you've heard some of this from Matt Michalajewski, so I won't be too long-winded about it. But back in 2017, the city created and adopted the Connect Madison Economic Development Strategy. It was a 2.5, 3-year process that was led by Dan Canelli, as well as the EDC and members of the Economic Development Division. This was essentially created as a way to guide policy work and serve as a work plan for the division. There were lots of elements that went into its creation, right? There was kind of baseline research that was done, data analysis, a lot of community input, and all of that essentially went into all that feedback and insight went into forming the Connect Madison strategy. So, in and of itself, a good plan, a good strategy, but at this point, a bit old, a little outdated, right? A lot has happened in the world since that plan was passed. But one of the things that really came from it, there were five strategies that were laid out in the Connect Madison plan, supporting small businesses, promoting new business models, cultivating diverse business startups, growing our tax base and encouraging targeted redevelopment in priority areas, creating good jobs by building on competitive strengths in key economic sectors, making the economic case for investing in modern and efficient transportation solutions. And then there's a fifth one that I can't see because the bar of the screen sharing is not vanishing for some reason. In any case, though,
It
y'all can read.
strengthened
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Wayne. Go ahead.
long-term workforce by supporting career pathways for young people.
Yeah, and I know the action item on that was around the, the 1 to 4 more interns and the Aspire interns, things like that. But in any case, you can see that actual work in the last 7 years has been done on all of these strategies. And so now where we find ourselves is in a position where we need to essentially update that plan or, take on a new plan. And so again, the world has changed very significantly in the last 7 years, most notably because of the pandemic. That's really shifted the nature of the economy and of labor and work. And so it's time to really look at what does the economy look like now in Madison? What are the current realities of both our local economy, but the higher levels of the economy, regional, national, global, and what does that all mean for Madison? And so, what we're doing now is again jumping into that process and really looking at how do we shape that so that we can form our work plan for the next couple of years here for EDD. So I'll jump into current progress. This is going to be a real problem if I can't. So let me see if I can. Can folks still see it?
Yes.
Okay. So where we're at right now, we've essentially done like three kind of concrete things. We've created an interagency city staff team that will assist with the development of the plan itself, mainly the goals, strategies, and activities. And we have staffers from economic development itself, both from both offices, OBR and real estate. We have two folks from community development with who focus on housing and workforce development. We have a staffer from planning as well as a backup staffer from planning. Planning just, you all know, I mean, they just get slammed with work. So having an alternate in planning is also very useful for us. And we also have a staffer from the Common Council office and from the Transportation Division. So as of Monday, this Monday, I should add, I will send these slides out after so folks can access the link to the RFP. I'm also happy to include the RFP as a PDF so that you don't have to go through the state's vendor net system. But the RFP was released on Monday. It did take into account all of the things that we heard. I believe it was either last meeting or 2 meetings ago. We definitely worked all of that into the RFP itself. And so that RFP is seeking consultant services to assist in research, data analysis, and public engagement efforts related to the plan itself. And as you all remember, there is some urgency to this process. It's one of the reasons that we pivoted away from doing kind of the resolution to authorize the RFP, based on feedback from the Office of the City Attorney. We issued it, but we will bring it back to this group in October and November for formal feedback and approval of a consultant team. But it's important that we have this contract and these funds encumbered before the end of the year because it's coming from the 2024 operating budget. If we don't hit that deadline, the funds essentially get, reabsorbed or rolled over into the general fund, and we're not able to access them for this purpose anymore. So we do have some expediency and some urgency on it. And we're doing pretty well from a timeline perspective. Additionally, again, this was mentioned in the past, the universe with University Alliance. Gavin Luter over there has worked with us and released a position description for a student intern for this semester that we're in right now, the fall semester. And that intern will assist the staff team with research gathering and additional project support. So it's kind of like it's like a we have our staff team, and then we kind of have the 1-2 punch of the consultant team, professional consultant team, as well as either I think a senior level undergrad or possibly even a graduate intern to assist with some of the other day-to-day. So this project is just gaining capacity from all of these different partners that we're bringing in. So then, kind of the last thing to touch on is you all's role in this, the EDC's role. You'll be heavily engaged throughout this process through, kind of what I would call almost call constant presentations. At the meetings, you'll get updates on what's going on. Obviously, any action items will come to this group for your feedback and then action. And then I will take it upon myself as the project manager to really reach out and do some individual solicitation, coffee meetings, things of that nature, to really understand where folks stand with the project, what you all want to see, where that can all fit in. And so, we have all these different partners that we're bringing in, the EDC being one of them. And again, we're really just at the beginning of this process, but we'll have some more robust updates here in the next couple of months. But everything is really on a good timeline. We're making good progress. We're putting all the building blocks and foundational pieces together to really be able to do this project in a way that we'll have the capacity and the knowledge to do in a very succinct way. So I'll move to the last slide here. Maybe not. Hold on. Give me one sec. I'm gonna stop sharing and I'm gonna relaunch it. Technology, it's your friend until it's not. So let's see. All right, one sec. All right, there we go. Screen share. Okay, can folks see the image here, the last slide?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So this is just the general project timeline. I think folks have seen it. It was in the project charter. One thing just to throw out is that, again, we are on pretty good pace to be able to keep on this timeline. Some consideration has to be given to the hire dates or the contracting dates, I should say, of the consultant team, as well as the onboarding of the student intern. So some of these phase timelines are subject to change in their timing and duration. But generally, this is what we're going to try to stick to. And at this point, we're on a pretty good pace to stay with this. So I'm happy to answer any specific questions folks have. Again, remember, we're at the beginning. I don't have every answer. But me and Saran are happy to answer any questions that folks have.
Susan?
Yes, thank you, George. I'm looking at the individuals who are on the team at the present time, and I'm just wondering about a couple of the components that I'm thinking would be helpful here as being on the team. One of the questions I would have is, where is the fiscal representation from the city? I think that it's really important to think about the actual fiscal impact that all of this might have. Secondly, what about the IT portion of this? I know that when I've worked with various committees or various departments, one of the things that I've been told is that the IT department hasn't been involved, or they haven't been able to collect some of the information that we've asked about. So I'm hoping that that would be one as well. And then finally, will an alder or alders be invited to be a part of this initial planning? And that's all I have.
Thanks. Yeah, so I'll try to answer these in order, and then again, Saran, jump in if I miss or misrepresent anything. So for the fiscal representation, I think that's a good point, right? It's always a key question. We're going to be proposing all of these strategies, all of these goals, all of these activities. Some of them, if not all of them, will have some kind of price tag, right? How does that actually fit in, especially considering the budgetary environment we find ourselves in as a city? So I think that's something to take into account. Maybe that's something me and you, Saran and Matt, can talk about in terms of, is there somebody possibly from, maybe they're not on the full staff team, but maybe we touch base with them, especially once the strategies and goals get up and running, to kind of figure out what is the fiscal impact here. Obviously, and Susan, you know this, right? When we do resolutions, things of that nature, there's a fiscal review or a finance review. But I agree with you that at a structural level, it probably would make sense to have somebody be able to look at what these recommendations are that are coming out, and then realistically, what's the price tag on them? Because that's going to level set another level of reality and what we can achieve. So I think that's a very good point. For the IT portion, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I forgot to mention it. We are actually working with the data team. Ellie Anderson? Am I getting her name right? Over it, because there's Tanya Anderson too, so I confuse my IT people. So we're working with Ellie and her team over in IT to actually look at, we're going to have obviously the consulting capacity, we're going to have the student intern capacity, but to your point, the internal IT and data team capacity is also useful. There's a lot of tools that the city already has out there in terms of data, especially like with a friendly user interface, right? I'm thinking of kind of the Neighborhood Indicators Project as one example. But I think working with that data team, we do have a meeting on the books with them in the next couple of weeks. So again, I can include that in the next update, but I'm glad you brought that up, because we are interfacing with them. When it comes to having an alder on, I think you said the initial planning team, are you asking, is there going to be an alder on kind of, we're calling it an interagency staff team. Are you asking about an alder's presence on that particular team?
I think I'm more just asking about, where do the alders actually interface with this work?
I think that's a good question. I would be open to talking to alders about where they want to interface with the work. I think obviously with the three alders that we have on the EDC, again, this will be, I would argue, a constant agenda update moving forward. Obviously, this is not an actionable item tonight, but there will be actionable items in the future. Especially as the staff team meets, as the consultant team is onboarded, the student intern starts working, we're going to have a lot of things to be able to bring to this group. And again, I'm happy to reach out and sit down, not just with alders, but with other EDC members, and kind of talk about, here's where we're at right now. What are your thoughts on things? What do you want to see happen? I can't promise that every single thing is going to get included, but I do think that kind of active participation process is something that will behoove all of us. So I don't know if I fully answered your question, but we are open to having more alder involvement, possibly in a more direct way if there's capacity and interest.
Thank you. Thanks, George.
Yeah, and just to add to that, both alders and EDC members, non-alders, will be meeting with individually. So we'd like to get your feedback on what your goals and what you're visioning. And so then we could incorporate that if it's something that the consultant can identify. And then we might say, Alder Madison would be great with this type of work, and we might reach back out. So again, we're in the early planning stages, but we'll meet with each and every one of you just to kind of see what your areas of expertise are, what you would like to see in the plan, what the goals are, and then of course working with the consultant to identify actual items that you all could work on as well, both alders and as committee members too. And then to add to the data piece, like George said, we're working with Ellie Anderson in IT. They're actually doing a citywide Results Madison data work. And so we want to make sure that we're collaborating with them as we're doing this Results Madison work along with the ED plan, so that there's collaboration in the data that we're collecting, as well as the citywide data that we're collecting as well.
All right, we have Melissa and then Alder Madison.
Yeah, thank you. This is super exciting, and I'm really excited about the staff team in particular that you're pulling together with the expertise. I do wonder about one possible addition that comes from my former life. I know it's hard to have a big team because then it gets a little bit more unwieldy and it's hard to make decisions, but I think there would likely be a lot of value add from one of the folks in civil rights that do the small business certification, because I think there are direct links between that work and the economic development work of the city that could potentially be leveraged. And that particular focus on businesses that are owned by women and people of color would probably be a really nice way to highlight the equity focus of the city. So take it or leave it, but it could be a good addition. And the other thing that you mentioned, George, was around like the RFP and having the link to the RFP and having to register at the state's website, or that we know that the procurement is always a fun and beautiful thing. How are we getting the information on some sort of like shareable web platform so folks don't have to dig through a sign up to have access to the qualifications?
That's a good question. I am not a purchasing person. I do think that from an art, and maybe the alders can jump in, or Saran, you can jump in and explain, but from what I remember how Brian Pitelli wrote it, I want to say that purchasing puts it up on VendorStar or VendorNet and then DemandStar as kind of the two formal places that it posted for bids. But obviously we are open to sending out, you know, because we have it in PDF form, we're open to sending it out to firms in the community or people that we think would have that expertise. I'm not sure, Saran, if we're going to post it on the EDD or the OBR website. I don't think that would be the hardest thing in the world to do, but obviously it has to go. It does have to go through those two formal channels, you know, just as a part of the bid process. But I think to your point, we're very open to sharing it with community-based organizations. We actually have the International Economic Development Conference coming up in Denver this week. So we're bringing like hard copies with us to hand out to, you know, different consultancies. But I do think like a focus on local firms would make sense. And if, again, I don't have all the answers to that here and now, but if you have ideas on how you would see it, or if anybody has any ideas on other strategies or ways we could kind of distribute the word in a way that's focused, right? We want to get it into the hands of people who can obviously do the work. And so if you all have ideas on who we should be distributing that to, obviously you can take it upon yourself to do that, or you can email me. I'm happy to follow up with them and send them the PDF, answer any questions they have. But I think the more hands we can get it into, the better. I'm never against, you know, more people having eyes on it and us getting a better applicant.
Yeah, I think what I would recommend, and if it's possible, get the text somewhere in a linkable PDF on a web page. Because then what we can do is send it either on social media or via email, and folks don't have to open the PDF. I just find that that's such a barrier, especially when there's consultants that are really good and we want to like have a competitive bid, right? Like we want to woo as many great consultants as we can, so the easier access we can create. So I would love it for me to get it to some consultants that I know having like nice snippets on a website with like attachments for further information, just so it could be more easily disseminated. If that's not possible, that's fine. I'll go the PDF route and write my own cute little intro. But the more formal, I think, on a website, the more polished it would look. So
I should add too, for whatever it's worth, because and I agree with you here on the VendorNet site. I believe you can't access it without registering.
Okay,
I do
cool.
think, like, and again, I've never actually gone through as a bidder on VendorNet, but I think to be able to like apply through the website or something, you then have to register. But the actual access of the PDF itself, and I wish I actually closed the webpage out earlier. Well, we can't drop things in the chat here anyway, but you can access the PDF from that page without having to register, because I did that earlier just to test it out.
Oh, good. Oh, okay. Then that might just solve all everything that I'm yapping on about.
No, you're good. I mean, the ideas you bring up are good. I mean, VendorNet's like not the most friendly, you know, interface for people. I mean, there's dozens of RFPs and bids posted every day. You have to kind of dig through stuff. So I agree with you in terms of accessibility, but that link, just to access it, you do not have to register to be able to actually see it and download it.
Perfect. And then just a general comment of thank you. This is one of the most important plans, in my opinion, that the city is and will perform, just because of the deep impact it can have for our local economy. And so your staff leadership in getting us organized, selecting the vendor, and doing it on such a tight timeline, like, kudos to you all. I will speak for myself, but, you know, as far as EDC goes, like, if you come up with any barriers, or if you need to figure out like more resources or need feedback, like, I definitely would want to know in this forum how we can more formally support you all as you begin this work that's just so critically important. So thank you for your presentation.
I appreciate that. Thanks. But as a friend and coworker told me, I am the perfect nerd for this project. So I think that's exactly right.
Okay, Alder Madison.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'll just quickly add, sorry, Alder Madison. Melissa, I really like your idea. We could write up a short little blurb, attach the PDF, and then just let folks know, here's what the RFP is for. If you would like to apply or make put in a proposal, then please sign up for vendor.org Demand Star. So we could send, you know, have a blurb, send the PDF, and then links to VendorNet and Demand Star if they're interested in, because we could put it on our EDD website or the City of Madison website, but no offense, no one's going to our website. So it works better that you all help us do the outreach. We'll send it to the list of organizations and consultant that, you know, we know as well here in the City of Madison. And then, of course, love your idea of reaching out to Kirsten in DCR, who certify the small women and minority owned businesses. She could also help get the word out to those consultant as well. And we would love her to join our team for the ED plan. So thank you for those suggestions. Okay, sorry, Alder Madison.
Oh, no worries. Just two quick things on the thought that Susan shared. I absolutely don't have the capacity for too much more work, but as usual with folks on EDC, especially for, you know, staff, you're always welcome to hit me up for, you know, those one-on-one conversations to be able to talk through whatever, make whatever connections. Those work best for me, but I'll be honest, I can't add much more like side committee works or like, you know, some spinoff of a committee, but you're always welcome to call or text me for a quick, you know, one-on-one, especially. I'm always in my car driving from one thing to the next. So, and then y'all know how to find me before council meetings always are good too. The other thing on where to help spread the word, Nancy Saiz in the city and Annie Weatherby Flowers have like brilliant listservs. I mean, like the gem of listservs. And then also Larissa Banuelos from the Common Council office. She also now send out emails. I don't know who's all on the list, but it, from my understanding, it's a ton of community organizations. So Larissa Benuelos, Nancy Saiz, and Annie Weatherby Flowers. Annie's in the library. Nancy, I think, is CDD, and Larissa is Common Council. They all have, you know, chef kiss to the listservs they've created, so, and have access to.
Thank you, Alder. And I wanted to add that I agree with Susan that this group should have a finance person. You know, I think it's important that we have somebody that can weigh in as we go along, rather than have something tossed out that people think's a great idea, but have it tossed out because it just isn't really affordable. So I think it's a good idea if we can get somebody like that on the committee or the group. Okay, I don't see any other hands. George, thank you. Saran, thank you. Are there any last words, George? Or
not until the next meeting, I guess. We'll have more on the 16th.
All right, thank you. Look forward to your updates. All right, Saran, discussion regarding EDC meeting dates.
Yes, so just a quick update. I know everyone wants to meet in person in October, so we are currently working on finding a location over on the west side. So more to come on that. We're just waiting to reach out to a business on that west side. So hopefully to do a tour and then have our EDC meeting. So we'll know soon and we'll be sure to update the committee.
Okay. All right, thank you. Item number five, the city budget for 25.
As you all may have seen, so Nathan, thank you for sending that email last minute. The mayor did just release her executive capital budget yesterday. I believe Nathan sent you the PDF for EDD specifically, and then also a link to the full executive capital budget if you're interested in, you know, seeing what all the other agencies have. And then there's also, that link also has a executive summary, so if you want the cliff notes as well. So all of that should be in your email, as well as your calendar invite, I believe. So I don't think there's any real huge change. I think I just want to let the folks, the team, know that because of our TIF funding, our SBER funding kind of switched over to more of TIF funding. So I think that's probably one of the bigger news. So any questions on this is the capital budget too. So there's capital budget and then there'll be the operating budget that'll be coming up as well.
Okay, I don't see any hands.
I do have a question.
Jeff, sorry.
This is quite possibly not necessarily the time to bring this up, but I want to make sure that we're thinking about future implications of the referenda that's going to be on the voting block coming up soon, and how we might respond to what happens at that time, and just get it in our minds to just kind of think about what the implications are, what the possibilities are, and what we may need to think about moving forward in reference to what we do in this committee if it doesn't pass, or if it does pass, or whatever. I just want to make sure that we have that on our radar a little bit, and maybe start to think about talking about it over the next couple of meetings.
Melissa?
Yeah, Jeff, you made me think of something, and I think this is more of a citywide scale concern or opportunity, however you want to look at it, is the contingency planning, not only around that referendum, but of any sort of like federal election or administration outcomes. I think there's little power that this committee has on the like big potential changes or outcomes that may come of that, but really for this team and for this commission, thinking about how we could help like support strategy for any economic outcomes that could emerge given any election results, right? Especially those at the federal level that could have impact on our federal funding to support our programs and in our efforts. And I think thinking now back to like the, you know, consultants' work, I wonder about having a very like intentional focus on like the SWOT analysis of like what the threats and the risks might be on the federal, like relying on the federal government for the economic development funds in our community. So also just a little bit rambly, but I do think it's important to like keep this all in mind and try to figure out our space and our level of influence or control around those dynamics that are happening and that are very live and real, like right now. And over the next 2 months are just going to be something to keep our arms around as much as we can.
As far as the referendum goes, I know that Matt has already submitted, and we saw last month the potential cuts that would have to happen. And I know the committee also showed some concern about cutting the lunch program and the garden program. And so, and Matt's aware of that. as is Saran. So, but there is a plan in place should the referendum not pass. It's not a happy plan, but it's there. Okay, Saran. Let's see.
Any
it's
other questions on the capital budget?
Okay, then Ruth, you have our financial assistance dashboard.
I do, and I'm going to share it with you. I think I'll be able to do that if Nathan is going to be kind to me today. I don't know.
It'd be good to go.
All right. Thanks. Thank you.
Okay. It's up.
It's up. All right. I'm going to make you guys really little so I can see it too. So again, you know, we are cruising along. This is the dashboard through the end of August. Usually August tends to be a slower month in general, just because of vacations and so on. But there were three more building improvement grants. Speak Studios is a new one at the Hub. They do kind of they're going to be the host of many podcasts, including Black Oxygen, I think is one that is a local one. And then they also have like retail and events space there. Rui Noodles is a State Street restaurant. Exotic Snack Shack, they have received some funding in the past. The idea is just that, you know, businesses have the opportunity to receive up to $50,000 in programming funding. Oh, my cameras. I blur my camera in case. So for example, Exotic Snack Shack is one where they're doing very small projects in increments. So right now they're building up to that 50,000. They're still under 25,000, I believe. But so sometimes you'll see some businesses pop up a couple times on this list. And so I'm just kind of scrolling. Really that and Kiva, there weren't any new healthy retail access. Kiva on average is doing two to three Kiva loans a month in Madison. And so they did three in August. And there was one facade grant program, and I'm sorry, I don't have it on here. It came in a little late, and so it'll be on the next one for you to see. But then that was everything for August. So does anyone have any questions about this report or any thoughts on how to make it better or more useful? Susan, do you?
Yes. Hi, Ruth.
Hi.
The question about Wando's, and I think the Red Shed, what is this money going to be used for those two businesses? Just interested to, these are building improvement grant program. Is this for external improvement?
Internal, mostly. So they're for facade grants, those are mostly external. So for the Red Shed, they've received their funding from the commercial ownership assistance. They moved recently to a new space on State Street that they had to build out. So they used the $50,000 towards that larger build out. Wando's at this point, they've been approved, but they haven't receive the funding yet. And that again is for upgrades to the kitchen area and a new flooring and some new sound systems, I believe. The second one is owned by the Wando's owner, and that's Jays, which is going to be in the former Red Shed space, and they're redoing that space. Again, that one was approved for the commercial ownership, but it hasn't been, he hasn't submitted the paperwork to receive it yet, so receive the funding yet. So they also applied for facade grants too, I believe. And I'm just looking right now. I can't remember if they were, if the facade grant, yeah, Jay's was approved for a facade grant for $20,000. That is still in process. And my understanding is that that money has not been given to Jay's yet. Folks are able to apply for both when it's, when they're in the right district. So,
A follow-up question, Ruth.
Yeah.
Does there have to, does a need have to be shown? How somebody critiqued when application actually comes into your office?
Right. There is, this isn't need, these aren't need-based. The facade or the building improvement grants are not need-based. So really all it is that they're showing estimates that they are doing improvements to the space, either externally or internally, and that they're in a specific district. And that is the only criteria. So that is something, you know, in the end, we've talked a lot about these grants in particular. So with in using the tax increment district funding for these now for the commercial ownership, especially, the thought is that the projects in these particular TIDs that are receiving tax increment financing tend to be very large projects, and they don't, that benefit does not go to the smaller businesses. And so, you know, the idea is that, especially in that many of the tax increment district projects tend to be housing, to kind of keep a robust retail in that area and allowing some of that growth to benefit the growth of the businesses. Again, the majority of the businesses that are receiving funding in the commercial ownership assistance are renters. It's very unusual for them to also be an owner of the building. So in the end, the benefit, the financial benefit really stays with the owner of the building, even though the updates do benefit the business while they're there. But again, you can see, and I think you probably, one of the thoughts here is that some of these businesses aren't necessarily hurting for funding and are making, you know, money. The idea is just that this is a shared benefit of just the growth that is happening in those particular areas.
With just to follow up on that, with the limited funds that we may be looking at, would it make sense that this become a need-based program, or is that something that is already determined and not something that we can change?
I don't know. I think that it probably could be something we could change. I don't know that there are any like rules around it. I guess it would be something we could totally discuss, unless anyone else can think of a reason why there'd a rule around it, but I don't think there is.
Okay. Kaba and then Susan.
Yeah, just to piggyback on that, Todd, I really think we need to look into that. What happens with some of these small businesses, it's hard for them to compete with well-established businesses. And in order to really get that impact that we're looking to do, it has to be a little bit more intentional than force come. I really think we should look into that to see how to move forward with that. I think we will create a bigger impact with that approach than without that. And I don't know what it will take. We kind of briefly touched on this on one of our meetings, I think 2 months ago, but
yeah,
I don't know what we need to do that, but I think we should definitely look into that.
Okay, thanks.
Absolutely, we can talk about it. And I think one thing that might help is if we, first of all, there is, in the budgets that you're seeing below that I include the individual TID budgets, that is funding that's available every year in that same amount. So there right now, we are, you know, moving through the funding for this year, but that all that funding will become available in those same numbers again in January. And so right now there isn't a shortage of funding, if that makes sense, right in this moment. So that's one thing. The other thing too is that I think if we did, I think there are, just this is anecdotal, I think that there are businesses we could pull out that we could show, you know, maybe did not have a need based. But in working with the majority of the businesses in the commercial ownership assistance, I think we could show that the majority of them aren't necessarily needy, but are struggling small businesses or new businesses. So, you know, maybe that would be something too that we could kind of look at, is really what is the reality of the businesses that we are supporting at this point, and is there a big gap in need, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Well, let's see, Saran, let's see if we can get that on the agenda and have Matt address it at a future meeting, whether it's October or November.
Yep, absolutely.
And I think Jeff.
Yep, Jeff is.
Yeah, I just want to add to that, to the conversation just a little bit, because this may be anecdotal, but it's definitely something that I've run into more often than not. I've noticed here in the city of Madison, through just kind of living here for the last almost 20 years or so, is that there's actually a very small percentage of people that actually own property in the city of Madison. It's usually owned by a large number of, you know, just not a large, but a small number of people that own a lot of the storefronts. And it's not necessarily a priority of theirs to kind of take care of the out front property, because it really is you use it or you don't kind of thing, right? You can, based on the places that these facade grants, it looks like they are available. You know, a owner who owns 4 or 5 storefronts could probably let the property sit there in a little bit of blight for a long period of time, because they can just write it off. And I've seen that actually happen, especially here on Monroe Street. And new businesses come in and they want to kind of freshen that thing up. And they're not the property owner, but they need the opportunity, even if they have a great business model, or they have, you know, or they're doing good in business, to be able to keep the property in, you know, just from an aesthetic standpoint, on a level of which probably makes sense for the spaces that we're talking about. So I think there is a component there that if we start to put barriers in front of being able to receive these funds, and I understand getting the funds to the places that need them so that they have opportunity to create that aesthetic that attracts people to their business. But I think also there is the thing that, because so few properties are owned by individual businesses themselves, we may put ourselves in a situation where people just don't do the work to make the aesthetic move up to the level of way the city of Madison maybe wants it to be for business districts. So I think we ought to really be careful about like what we do in this respect, because we just don't want things to just kind of fall. Because I've seen that happen. And until we can figure out a way to, at the very least, get more properties into the hands of small business owners instead of families that own large amounts of a property, we should just be careful about kind of how we do that thing. So I just wanted to throw it out.
Thanks, Jeff. Great point. We'll carry on that discussion and see if anything needs to change or perhaps not. But I think it's a good discussion item for the committee. Okay. I don't see any other hands up. So, Saran, announcements and future EDC agenda?
Yep. I think, as I mentioned before, we're working on getting the in-person meeting in October, and then, of course, having the EDC decide if we want to continue meeting in person or via Zoom. So we'll be sure to have that discussion.
Okay, good. I hope we do get to meet in person from time to time. It's nice to put faces and people together, and we'll make sure we have some refreshments too. Still be worth your while to come. All right. I see no other business on the agenda. Therefore, if I could get a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa. Is there a second? Anybody?
I'll second.
Thanks, Kaba. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, this meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you, Saran. Great job.
Thank you. Have a good night, everyone.